Welcome to this Computer Weekly podcast on the forthcoming changes in PCI DSS and its implications for storage. My name's Anthony Adsett, storage editor with ComputerWeekly.com. With me today I have Mathieu Gorge, who is CEO of VigiTrust. And the first question today, Mathieu, is what are the key forthcoming changes in PCI DSS and PA DSS? Over to you.
Firstly, we need to look at the life cycle of PCI DSS and PA DSS. Both standards have a three-year life cycle, and we're just about to start a new cycle on the 1st of January 2014. So, in essence, the PCI Council is still collecting feedback from all of the parties involved in PCI at the community meetings, one that just took place in Las Vegas in September, and the next one in Nice in France this month in October. The effective date of the new standard is the 1st of January 2014, meaning that existing PCI DSS and PA DSS compliance parties will need to be in compliance with the new standards, i.e. version 3.0, by January 15. So we need to have a look at the major changes coming up and what was driving the changes. According to the PCI Council, the changes are driven by a lack of education and awareness of the standards, issues with weak passwords and authentication to systems that hold credit card holder data or process credit card holder data, issues with managing third parties from a security perspective, issues with malware, and also inconsistency in assessments. And that's actually translated into the suggested changes that will be validated over the next few weeks and put into action from January 1st next year. So the major changes are around user awareness, making security business as usual, offering more stability in controls, although that's the official version. In reality, PCI DSS and PA DSS remain extremely prescriptive as against other standards or other security frameworks like ISO 27000 series, for instance. However, they are trying to make the controls a bit more flexible. And then you'll also see some emphasis on shared responsibility with regards to protecting cardholder data. At the end of the day, we're trying to protect cardholder data, whether it's being stored, whether it's being used, or whether it's being transited from one entity to another. And you'll see, for instance, in the new version of PCI DSS that there's an emphasis on managing third parties, especially cloud providers. And with regards to PA DSS, which is the payment application security standard for vendors that provide applications that are used by payment service providers and merchants and banks, there's emphasis on training integrators so that the responsibility is held between merchants using those applications, vendors providing the application, and then integrators actually putting the applications into action within the credit card holder data lifecycle.
The next question is, what implications for data storage and backup will result from these changes? Over to you again.
There's going to be a number of changes that are either directly linked to data storage or backup, or somewhat indirectly linked to managing data from a storage perspective. The best thing to do is to actually download the PCI DSS and PA DSS version 3.0 change highlights that's available from the PCI standards website. But in a nutshell, for PCI DSS, it starts with a major change in requirement one, which is really focusing on having a current diagram that shows the cardholder data flow. I've been talking about ecosystem diagrams, which essentially are diagrams that show the different lines of business and how the data flows between all of those different lines of business and potentially including cloud providers and third parties. But this year, the council has actually included a requirement to hold a current diagram that shows the actual data flow. So that means that in order to have that diagram, you're going to need to go through a data classification exercise, which essentially means that you need to know where the data is coming from, what type of data it is, does it fall under PCI, does it potentially fall under any European data protection regulation or US state PII, for instance. So the idea was to clarify the fact that documented cardholder data flow is really an important component of protecting that data. Another requirement that deals directly with storage of cardholder data is requirement 3. Now, some of the changes in requirement 3 focus around the secure storage of cryptographic keys. As you know, requirement 3.4 is the main requirement that tells you what data you can store and how you're supposed to protect that data if you're allowed to store it from a from an encryption perspective. That requirement has been clarified, and it's something that entities need to pay attention to. There's also some general changes with regards to storing authentication data. And again, the clarification here is made to ensure that there's a better understanding of protection of sensitive authentication data, and that if you need to store it, it cannot be stored after authorization. So that's really for the main changes on PCIDSS. If we now look at PADSS, one of the main changes with PADSS revolves around that shared responsibility and the training of integrators of payment applications. So PADSS used to have 13 requirements. It now has 14 requirements, the last requirement, number 14, being focused primarily on training. And again, you'll find within the changes some specification around authentication to access stored data or data that might be temporarily stored for authentication purposes. You'll find information around two-factor authentication to access the data and access the application. And then you'll also find some specific controls that have been updated around encryption. The main objective here is to render passwords unreadable. And again, all of this goes back to the change drivers that I spoke around earlier on. The common theme here between PADSS and PCIDSS is that you need to manage your ecosystem that may either store, transit, or process credit card holder data. And the only way to do that is to use best practice and perform a data classification assessment. Make sure that you know where the data is going, where it's stored. Make sure that you've got the right level of encryption and authentication for that data, and that at no time you end up storing data that you're not allowed to store. And so the council speaks about business as usual and making security business as usual. What they mean by that is continuous compliance, and that really applies to data storage and to backup. So I would contend that it's fair to say that there's a very strong emphasis on data classification and data storage in this new version, and this is a welcome change in PCIDSS and PADSS 3.0.
Thanks, Mathieu. And that's the end of the podcast. For more information on storage and compliance, go to computerweekly.com.